our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This passage from Jeremiah came at a clearly recognizable time in history. The Assyrians, who had conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, were in turn conquered by the Babylonians. The southern kingdom, known as Judah, was in the middle between the major powers of the time, the Babylonians and the Egyptians. Josiah, king of Judah, was killed by Pharaoh Necho of Egypt, who placed Josiah's son Jehoahaz, and then 3 months later, his son Jehoiakim on the throne. Jehoiakim was king during 11 of Jeremiah's years as a prophet. Jehoiakim vacillated between loyalty to the Egyptians and to the Babylonians until Jehoiakim was killed in a siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in 598 BC. Now remember, the years BC count backwards. So the bigger the number, the longer ago it was, down to Christ's birth, which would have been year zero. 3 months later, Jehoiachin, the new king, and many of the best and brightest of Israel were taken to exile in Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar allowed Jerusalem to continue independently under King Zedekiah, another son of Josiah, who ruled for 11 years. In his 11th year, he shifted his loyalty to the Egyptians, and Nebuchadnezzar sent his army back to Jerusalem. The city was under siege for a year and a half, with a short respite when the Egyptian army approached. Jerusalem was burned and the Temple of Solomon destroyed in August of 587. And the Babylonians set up Judah as a province under the governor Gedaliah. And when Gedaliah was assassinated 5 years later, many of the Jews remaining in Judah fled to Egypt and then took Jeremiah with them. Okay, so the events of today's scripture took place during the second siege, which resulted in the burning of Jerusalem, and most probably during the respite in the siege, which would have allowed Jeremiah's kinsmen to approach him with the proposal to redeem the family property. Jeremiah's kinsman, Hanamel, came to ask Jeremiah to purchase the family land in Anathoth, a town just north of Jerusalem. The law stated in Leviticus that he was talking about is this, quote, "The land must not be sold permanently, because the land is mine, says God, and you reside in my land as foreigners and strangers. Throughout the land that you hold as a possession, you must provide for redemption of the land. If one of your fellow Israelites becomes poor and sells some of their property, their nearest relative is to come and redeem what they have sold. If, however, there is no one to redeem it for them, but later on they prosper and acquire sufficient means to redeem it themselves, they are to determine the value for the years since they sold it and refund the balance to the one to whom they sold it. They can then go back to their own property. But if they do not acquire the means to repay, what was sold will remain in the possession of the buyer until the year of Jubilee, which came up every 50 years. It will be returned in the Jubilee, and then they can go back to their property. Anyone who sells a house in a walled city retains the right of redemption a full year after its sale. During that time, the seller may redeem it. If it is not redeemed before a full year has passed, the house in the walled city shall belong permanently to the buyer and the buyer's descendants. It is not to be returned in the Jubilee. But houses in villages without walls around them are to be considered as belonging to the open country. They can be redeemed and they are to be returned in the Jubilee. End quote. Okay, this law was God's way of keeping land in the family that had been allocated the land when the Israelites returned from exile to Egypt. As you recall, the land was divided among the 12 tribes of Israel, who were descendants, the 12 sons of Jacob, also known as Israel. Actually, to be more precise, the 12 divisions did not include the Levites, who were descendants of Levi, but did include the two half-tribes of the children of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay, so Hanamel comes to Jeremiah, who apparently was next in line to purchase the family property. Jeremiah has been placed under house arrest by King Zedekiah, who was tired of Jeremiah's dire predictions of his decision to ally with Egypt. Now, one might wonder what Hanamel was thinking. To ask Jeremiah to buy land just outside a city that had been under siege by the Babylonians. It would be like asking a Palestinian to buy land outside Gaza City today. In a sign of great hope, Jeremiah purchased the land. Remember, hope in God is assurance that God is in control and wishes the best for his people. Jeremiah had recently written a letter to those Jews who had been taken into captivity in Babylon. He said this, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Now, Jeremiah is doing what the old expression says. He's putting his money where his mouth is. Not only is he telling the people that God will restore them, he's showing his faith, his trust, that God will deliver on God's promise. Verse 11 of Jeremiah's letter to the Babylonians, to the Babylonian Jews, is a popular memory verse. And I have it posted on the wall of the pastor's study. It says, quote, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Might I add that this is not a promise that we will have prosperity in worldly terms, but that God knows what is best for us, and the future is in God's loving hands. Jeremiah trusted this was true, not only with his words, but also with his money. And like Jeremiah, we can trust God. Or, as another old expression puts it, that's a promise we can take to the bank. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let us stand together and say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.